Bible study today is in Mark chapter 9. Remember, just to give you an overview, because we got to do something else first. There's the demon-possessed boy whose dad brings to Jesus, and so we're going to walk our way through it. Ultimately, the place I'm going to land today and the place I want you to really try to meditate on and think about is Jesus turns after all this commotion going on. We'll read it in a second. But Jesus turns to the father and says, bring the boy to me. And he says, bring him to me. And I don't know that there's four more powerful words in the Bible than that. That Jesus calls us to go to him. And he calls us to take others to him. Bring others to him. And just think about that for a second. The invitation that is right in front of us. And I know that, you know, it's such a blessing that Daniel would come up. And Callie was here a couple weeks ago. And so many people come up and talk about, all we're doing is following those four words that Jesus asks, right? We just offer Daniel to God. And for those of us who see some of the emails, you know, Autumn isn't feeling well. She hasn't been feeling well, and so she's facing surgery. So I asked if Autumn would come up today and we could pray for her. You know, Joseph and Sarah, you who are here regularly, who run the motel/apartment thing right outside here, and Joseph's not feeling well. The stress of running that place over there is very strong, and a lot of things, because all the particulars, but he's in a very difficult place there because he has a boss, he has an owner, and then Joseph shows much compassion to the people who live there, and when they don't pay, then what's Joseph do? And so he's got headaches really bad, a lot of stress. And so I asked her if I had permission to share a little bit about that. So if we could remember to let's pray for each other. And we have the privilege this morning together to pray. We're going to pray for Autumn, and Joseph's not feeling well, so he's not here. But I'm going to pray for Joseph too. You know, he loves God, doesn't he? Joseph just loves Jesus so much. It just flows out of him. And what a privilege we have as just regular people to get to know that couple. You know, there's so many times that I wonder, God, why are we in this place? And why are we still here and all the particulars? But you know what? If we weren't here, they wouldn't come because they don't have a car. And it's only because they can walk here that they come. And what a vibrant, important part of this body that couple is. So special to us. And so every time, and I get frustrated with being here and all the particulars, God really puts that couple in my mind and say, Toby, there's a reason. And it's so you can love people that are right here. And there they are. And so if you think about it today, you know, as you go through your day, just pray for them and stop in and say hi. They're so social. And so loving when it comes to, just stop in and say, she'll feed you. You'll be hard to get out of there without eating everything in their house and home. But she wants it that way. So go ahead and, you know, it's just, so we want to pray for them. But Autumn, if you don't mind, come up. And I see Brian. I don't know where, there is Amy. If you would come up and we'll pray. And you give us a short little synopsis of what you're facing, somebody, because some of us won't remember. And of course, there's Joni there with her boot on, and she faced surgery, and she's headed toward radiation treatment probably within a week or so-ish. Not sure exactly when. There's so many needs that we have. And, you know, Evan's got a back issue and going to start playing football this week, right, Evan? This week coming up. So Evan's not been able to play because of his back issue. Just so many things going on around us. And so this morning during worship, I was just thinking about, I don't know that I do a very good job of communicating all this to you. The needs that we have as a body, so... Do you mind sharing one of you? I don't care who. Mom, probably. You want me to put this up?
Okay. Kendra has a condition called Chiari malformation, which basically means that she's got some very narrow spots in the back of her skull, which makes her brain herniate or prolapse, which causes pressure on the brainstem and the spinal cord. And as a result of that, she's had headaches and stomach aches and all kinds of problems her whole life. And really, it's also the reason for her heart problems that she's had, scoliosis. It's just a whole laundry list of problems. We could go on and on. Those are the big ones, though. So anyway, we've been looking for answers for years. She's had tests done. She's had diagnoses that don't really fit the bill, but they don't really know what else to say. So finally, it's all come down to, we've discovered that she has this Chiari malformation. And so she's going to have surgery on the 24th. Basically, what they're going to do is go and remove part of her skull and create more room for her brain. And hopefully this will help clear up a lot of the problems that she's having. So.
I don't need more room for my little pea brain, so I got to tell you, I'm a little jealous. They could collapse most of mine down, so I'm envious. Jimmy's here, we're going to pray, okay? Grandma's there too, so make grab a hold of Grandma if you're sitting close to Grandma.
Yes, absolutely. My 7-year-old nephew, who's upstairs right now, he has the same condition. And right now they're in the process of trying to figure out what's best for him, whether surgery should be in the future, or if they should wait, that kind of stuff. So to me, that actually would be more disconcerting than knowing we've got an answer and that we're going to, you know, have something to move forward on. Where right now they're trying to decide, what do you do with, you know, because it's obviously it's going to change a 7-year-old boy's life to have part of his skull removed. So, but on the other hand, you know, if you wait, it can cause all kinds of problems with, like they were told me, you know, her kidneys could have been next if we don't get this, and you know, it can cause paralysis eventually, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you could pray for him also, please. That's Owen.
Owen?
Yes.
Before we pray, turn to the Bible study today. Mark chapter 9. You okay standing with me for a second? I just want to show you something, okay? And I don't know how hard I'll land here today, but I just want to point it out. Mark 9, you find it okay in your Bibles? Again, I'll read the story in a second, but Jesus comes down off the mountain with the fellas, and the disciples are dealing with the scribes, starting in verse 14 of 9. You see that? Jesus comes up, hey, what are you talking about in 16? And then the guy says, hey, my son's demon-possessed. Notice how Jesus responds when he gets to 19, because the disciples can't deal with the demon. The guys that are left, they can't deal with the demon. Notice Jesus' response in 19. Jesus answers the father and says, and I think to the whole group who's standing there, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? And that's where he says, bring him to me. And then go down a little bit in 23, Jesus says to the dad, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, I'm not here to tell you that I understand completely about what Jesus is talking about there when it comes to O faithless generation. But you know what? That applies to me. And what got the disciples in trouble, I think, is that they got their eyes off Jesus, and they got their eyes more on a ritual or tradition or rote prayers or thinking that somehow a church program or something is going to change. And so as we pray for Autumn and Joseph and Owen and others that we know, and Joni and others that we know, I think one of the encouragements that God's given us, it's not a coincidence we're talking about today, and here we are in this Bible study, he's saying, I want you to walk by faith. I want you to believe what I say will happen every time. That you don't have to hope. You don't have to wish. God is going to work. God is going to do a mighty work in your life because he promises that he will. And there's something about stepping out in faith. And I think part of our challenge is because we come around people who are swing the pendulum too far with faith. And they say, if I just have enough faith, I can drive a Lexus. If I just have enough faith, I'll live at Geist. That's not what he's talking about here. He's just saying, put your faith in me, not your faith in your faith. Put your faith in me that I love that girl right there. I made that girl right there. And I want to do a mighty work inside of her heart. And you know what? That girl is an awesome lover of God. And this family is an awesome lover of God. And I praise God for the, if you will, affliction, because it's grown her in ways that probably wouldn't happen otherwise. Why? Because God knew what it was going to take. And so we can step into this and say, oh God, we want you to move in a mighty way, and we pray for healing. But most of all, we pray that her spirit would soar, and her spirit soars, man. You want to be around somebody who loves God, be around Kendra Autumn Farmer for a while. She loves God in the midst of it. And so I know I say all that because I think God's calling us to walk in a faith place to say, God, I believe you. I believe you at your word. Everything you say in here, I believe. Let's pray it now, okay? Lord, we so thank you. Yeah, come on if you want. Lord, we so thank you for you. We so thank you, God, that you're on the throne right now in heaven, and all those beings around you praising you and worshiping you. And glory, glory, glory to you. And we add our voices to that this morning, God. And we are so thankful, God, that you are in total control of this whole universe. And we're so thankful for your goodness, God. And we're thankful, Lord, for Autumn Farmer. We're thankful, Lord, that you know her and she knows you. And I thank you, Lord, that her eyes are on you. And I thank you, Lord, that you have made her into the woman of God that she is. And you're not done with that yet. You're going to continue to grow her in her faith, God. And we're so excited about how you're fashioning her heart to look more and more like Jesus' heart. And we're thankful for the challenges that she's had in her life, God. We do. You know, it's hard to thank you for our challenges, but we do, God. Because we know it's through those that we grow in our relationship with you and we deepen our walk with you. Lord, we lift this little girl right before you. And we thank you, God, that you hold her close to your heart. We thank you, God, that you know everything about this illness that she has. Lord, we thank you for doctors in this world. We do. We thank you for surgeons. We thank you for medicine. But Lord, we thank you for you more than all that. We pray wisdom for those guys and gals. We pray for special skill. But Lord, we ask right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' holy precious name, God, that you would touch her body and bring complete and total healing to her. That she would go and be just a powerful testimony to the goodness of God. Lord, we pray peace for this family. I'm sure mom's anxious and dad's anxious and everyone's anxious about all this. But I pray, Lord, that they would just fix their eyes on Jesus. And to know that you've created Autumn Farmer for a special purpose. And if it's for her to go down to this hospital and be a blessing to you there and for you there, then we rejoice in that. God, please touch her body and heal her body. We beg you for it, Lord. We ask you for it. We stand in faith this morning, knowing that you can and asking that you will, Lord, that you do a mighty work to glorify your name. Lord, we pray the same for Owen. We pray peace for him and his family. We pray healing for him, God. And we pray, Lord, that you would just show yourself mighty in this family and through this family, God. Please bless them, God. We thank you for Joni Stackman and her faith, God. We pray healing for her. We thank you for radiation treatments. But we pray in Jesus' name that she'd go and they say, you have no need to be here because you've touched her body. And we thank you for Yosef, God. We pray a healing touch on him. We pray your peace about him. We pray wisdom for him as he deals with all those people day in and day out. We pray, Sarah, you and him would grow deep in their walk with you, God. We thank you for Evan, Lord. We pray for healing, continued healing for his back, God. And we pray that he would glorify you in that locker room and glorify you on that field. And many people would come to know Jesus because of Evan, God. And Lord, this morning, Lord, we just pause to worship you for your goodness, for your majesty. Lord, we pray that you would just use us for your glory in this world. So thank you for the time we have to pray together. And talk to you. Thank you for hearing our prayers, God. Thank you for knowing our heart. We ask you to do a mighty work, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Brian. If I forgot anybody with the healing thing, I'm sorry. My brain goes randomly. Well, you know that. Mark chapter 9. You got your Bibles with you, okay? Sorry, I'm going to have to cough out every once in a while. And we're going to celebrate communion today, so we're going to work our way right through this study. What did I say? It was verse 14? Is that where we are? Remember, Jesus comes off the mountaintop, right, with the fellas, Peter, James, and John, where he'd been transfigured. Remember what the transfiguration is? It's these guys got to see Jesus in his glory. The glory that he had before he came to this earth and the glory that he's going to have when he leaves this earth right now. So these guys got a special glimpse of that. So now they come down off the mountain. Remember Peter, it was Elijah and Moses were up there with them, and Peter says, hey, let's build three tabernacles. Isn't that what he said? Let's build three tabernacles. And the voice from heaven comes down from heaven. The Shekinah glory of God comes. Remember what the voice of heaven said? This is my son. Maybe he says, beloved son. Here, let me find it. Listen to him. Isn't that what he says? Where is that? What verse is that? It's 7. Thank you. Yeah, a cloud comes and overshadows them, the Shekinah glory of God. A voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." There is to be the single most influential voice in your life. Don't answer this to me. Is it? And I'm blessed you're here on Sunday morning. I am. But this is the only time you slow down and think, listen to God's voice. Man, you are so asking for troubles when it comes to getting your rump kicked out there in the world. Because this is a half hour listening to God's word, and you got how many other hours in the week that you're listening to Oprah, and you're listening to Guy at Work, and you're listening to all these Rush Limbaugh and all these voices that don't necessarily represent the heart of God. Careful, Christian. Okay? 14 then. So Jesus comes down, and he comes into this commotion. When he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" And one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down." Can you imagine being this dad? I mean, just try to put yourself right here. Flip your feet in his sandals. Wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth. He gnashes his teeth. Becomes rigid. So he spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And there's where Jesus answers and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long should I bear with you? Bring him to me. If you're an underliner or a highlighter in your Bible, I'd invite you to right there, bring him to me. And I'm going to say it a few times. I'd like for you to meditate on that today. Just those four simple words. What's that mean? What's that mean here? What's that mean to you? 20. And then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. You know, some demons, when they come in front of Jesus, they like quiver and fear and, "Hey, what are you going to do?" kind of thing. This demon was powerful and he didn't care. He just threw this new kid down right in the spot. Immediately the spirit convulsed him and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he's thrown him into both into the fire, into the water, to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Nice prayer, isn't it? 23, Jesus says to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. So it became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." 27. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And we come into the house. His disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" 29. And Jesus says to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Lord, thanks for your word. Really, God, thanks. And at a time where things are ever-changing, and it's hard to keep track of what's in and what's out and what's this and what's that, Lord, it's nice to be able to go to your word and the consistency and the stability, and what's right is right every time and what's wrong is wrong every time. And you show us very clearly what your heart is. So, Lord, I pray you'd give us depth of understanding this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So here they come, down off the mountain, St. 14, and it's a mob scene there. You see the huge dispute between the scribes are part of the religious leadership of the day, Jewish religious leadership. That's who these guys are. So they're arguing and debating about theology while a young boy right in their midst is suffering. And you know, I find that happens sometimes today in our world. That sometimes people, good Christian people, would spend more time arguing and debating about theology when their neighbor is going to hell. That just sink and breaks my heart. to think about how much time we spend. And I'm not saying studying your Bible is invaluable. It is. But there's a point where we say, you know what, let's stop talking about doing nice things for people, and let's do nice things for people. Let's start talking about helping somebody, and let's just do it. And these guys are spending so much time talking about all this stuff and trying to get some understanding, trying to get some idea of, some intellectual exercise. And there's a kid. I'm not going to guess how old he is. I have no idea. Calls him a boy. And he's hurting. 15, and they saw Jesus. Notice the response when people are around Jesus. They're greatly amazed and they run to him. Isn't that the way it is when we get close to Jesus? Just amazement. And just excitement. So Jesus steps right into the conversation in 16, whether he's trying to help his disciples out or he just knows, that there's an issue here that he has to deal with. I'm not sure. So he asks a question in 16, what are you discussing with them? And of course, the scribes nor the disciples answer. It's the dad who answers in 17. Teacher, I brought you my son. In Luke, it tells us it's his only son who has a mute spirit. And then you read what happens to him. I was with a guy on Friday. I was fortunate enough to go to the golf tournament in Carmel with a buddy of mine. And he has an only son who is far from God. And just breaking his heart. Rich Elliott, for those who know the Elliots. Just breaking his heart. And he's not going through these kind of physical things, but he is so embraced things that are against Christ. And it I love Rich and I care about Rich, and so I tend to ask. And Rich just gets so emotional. And what do I do for my boy? How do I help my boy? Now his boy's 26 years old or whatever. And so it's just weird. I read this, and then there is a buddy of mine. We know friends and family like that. Rosemary walked through with her son. Thankfully he's coming to church and all that. It's so hard to watch your kids. Try to see how the dad responds here. So then that's where Jesus says in 19, "O faithless generation, how long will you be with me?" Now, if we would go over it into Matthew, we see that the issue that the kid's dealing with isn't a physical issue; it's a spiritual issue. Okay. Matthew tells us that the kid is demon-possessed. It comes right out and tells us that. Down in 25 of this, Mark chapter 9, Jesus calls it a deaf and dumb spirit. So it's an unclean spirit. It's just a demonic influence in the boy's life. And then when the father and the son arrive, Jesus is up on the mountaintop with Peter, James, and John, and so he asks the disciples to do something. They can't do it. But these disciples had been given power over unclean spirits just a couple of chapters ago. And they had cast out demons in Jesus' name just a couple of chapters ago. Why are they unable to do it here? Well, that's why I think Jesus responds in 19. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to the crowd. He's talking in this room today. And he calls them a faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? And then he says, how long shall I bear with you? These guys had a lapse of faith. I wonder if maybe they'd gotten their eyes on a methodology, or, it's so easy for us to, this prayer worked before, and we fall into the trap of some kind of rote prayer. And there's nothing wrong with the Lord's Prayer. We should pray it. But if that's our only prayer, so autumn comes up and once failing, and I pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, okay, that's good. But, sometimes we think, there's power in. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus calls them a faithless generation. And like I said before, I think we have to be a little careful, because some of in the church world today have swung the pendulum so far that they say faith is anything you want it to be, and you can have anything as long as you have enough faith and all that. Okay, that's not biblical, and that's way out there, and we don't want to do that. But here's the thing I do. Because I don't want to be that, I swing the pendulum way over here, and then I don't walk by faith at all. I don't walk by faith at all. And I'm more of a hopeful child of God. Oh, God, could you maybe please help me pay my electric bill this year? Wait a minute. God says, tell me, I'll meet every one of your needs. I promise. Every one of your needs. Oh, God, my kid's in college and she's away. Will you please? No, God, I trust. I know you're with her. I know right now you're with her. And I can stand in faith there, knowing that he's with Callie Morales. Where is Callie right now? Atlanta? God's with her right there. And so that whole Morales family can stand in faith as Daniel goes to Mazatlan and says, God's doing a work in him, because we know God says that he will. And we don't have to say, oh God, please. No, God, we stand in faith to know that he is. We just pray that Daniel's heart will be soft to receive. I'm guilty of this. Many times, the same thing that Jesus is challenging these disciples on and this crowd on, I'm guilty because I fall back into tradition. I fall back into methodology. I fall back into rote prayers. And Jesus, as we walk our way through here, is saying, I just desire a deep, abiding relationship with you, Toby. It's out of that that power comes. Amen? It's out of that that power comes. It's out of that wisdom comes. It's out of that direction comes. And yet we fall back into, well, I saw Jesus spit on the ground and put some muck in the guy's eyes, so allow me try that. Now, if that God calls you to, go for it. The person you might be doing it to might be a little freaked out about it, but go for it. And I love how 19 ends, and there's the four words. Jesus says, bring him to me. Do you see the compassionate invitation Jesus invites? And to me, that's the biggest key through here. So we all have friends or family members who are hurting or suffering. All of us do. And I think the invitation is, let's bring them to Jesus. Did you realize that over half the miracles that Jesus does in the Bible concerning people were because somebody brought them, whoever was hurting, to Jesus? Over half. Somebody took them to Jesus, just like this father brings his son. So our challenge is to bring those people that we love and we know who live around us to Jesus. And that can happen at church. That can happen at a home Bible study. It can happen at the women's retreat this next weekend. It happens. And we just got to pray that God would open doors for us to be able to step into and invite people to go meet with Jesus. That's what I see in this. Because if we invite them to be around the people of God and around the things of God, they are going to be touched by God. Whether it's a song or whether it's a word, something powerful is going to happen in their life. And notice it doesn't tell us that we're to send them to Jesus. It tells us that we are to bring them to Jesus. And here's a little aside for me. Sometimes I don't go to Jesus. And because I'm not going to Jesus when I'm around my neighbor, I don't take him to Jesus because I'm not going there myself. So it starts with me. And I got to submit myself to Jesus. I got to keep taking myself to Jesus all through my week, just continuing to throw myself at the foot of the cross and throw myself at God. And out of that, then, when I come across people who are hurting, I do what Jesus asked them to do right here in verse 19. So they take the boy then to Jesus in verse 20. And Jesus sees him, and of course there the demonic spirit does all that crazy stuff. And Jesus in complete control of the situation. Can you put yourself there? Here's all this commotion going on. And Jesus turns and asks the dad, how long has this been going on from childhood? Can you imagine being the dad? He's never been able to take his kid fishing. He's never been able to take his kid to a public function. All the things that's been, and the dad probably feels, am I responsible for this? Now again, they're up by Caesarea Philippi, where they're doing a lot of pagan things. They had a huge child sacrifice thing. Back then they believed that your firstborn child, you would sacrifice that child to the god of Molech. Literally put him in the fire. If the smoke was a certain color, that god accepted it. If the smoke was of the other color, I forget if it was light or dark, I forget. If the smoke from the child sacrifice was the other color, then that sacrifice wasn't accepted, and then your next child goes. That's what's happening right here in this town, Caesarea Philippi. How many of us are firstborn kids? Sorry for you. I'm not, so I'm okay. Can you imagine living in a culture like that? And so here's dad, you know, and he's probably wondering, you know, what did I do? How did I invite this thing? And here's my innocent son affected by the decisions I've made. So he takes his son to Jesus. You need to remember that the goal of the devil is to destroy you. Did you hear it? The goal of the devil is to destroy you. Not to just give you a bad day. Not to just give you a bad cough. Not just to make you walk out in public with bad hair. And not the devil's... he might do that, you know. But it's much deeper than that. The goal of the devil is to destroy you. If we would read the end of Ephesians, it closes by talking about spiritual warfare. And each one of us as Christian people, we've entered into spiritual warfare. You know, everything would be happily ever after if the heavens and the earth were occupied only by God and man. But the heaven and earth aren't just occupied by God and man. There's a devil, and there's an entire demonic realm that exists, and they operate around us every single day. And that God knows that when we became a part of his family, in essence, we're putting on a uniform and entering into war between God and the devil. That's been going on long before you and I were ever created. And it's in existence today. And there's no getting around it. And one thing that may happen over time is we lose sight of this fact. But it's one thing that Satan never loses sight of. He recognizes you as his enemy. And he never takes a day. It's the first day of NFL season. You know what? I think I'm just going to kick back and enjoy the games. No. He never loses sight of what he's trying to do is destroy you. And he's active with it every single moment of every single day. He's a destroyer. He's a rebel. And he hates God. And he fights God every day. And he hates everyone who's aligned with God. He hates everyone, period. Because he doesn't have the position he wants to have, and he'll never have that position. And so he works every day to destroy every institution of God. And every single person in the world that works with God in support of these institutions. So he works every day to undermine the institution of marriage. Why are we taken by surprise when the marriages are us struggling with? Yeah, duh. Why are we taken by surprise that our government is going the way it's going? That's one thing the devil's trying to do is undermine the government in this world and make it secular. Well, he's done a really good job with that, hasn't he? Not just in this culture, but in most cultures. He works every day to undermine the church. He's always working against those things. And he works against us because we're for those things. Amen? He does. The greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. So we don't have to run around afraid, like our hair is on fire, freaking out, oh no, what do we do? And he works against us because we're an example to others of how a life can be lived. And the devil hates that. Because as we live a life of joy and peace and purpose, we're walking billboards to people around about how life can be lived in the midst of challenges. I mean, Autumn Farmer is a walking billboard. And gosh, the devil hates that. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I have power to live the life that God has called me to. I just have to open my eyes. And when I read this, it's like, yeah, this stuff happens. And I've got to be aware that I'm in war. And I got to be my mighty warrior for God. And I got to fight against spiritual warfare spiritually. I mean, I can come to a gym and work out every day and be buff, but I'm not fighting this fight that way. I can't win that fight that way, right? I mean, look at me. Look how buff and strong, massive, huge, powerful. Come on, why are you giggling? Yeah, I don't have a membership. If I just had a membership. Let's be spiritual giants. Physical, go for it. So here we see Jesus totally in command of the situation. So he asks the dad how long it's been going on. And, you know, I wonder why, if one of the reasons why Jesus is in total command of the situation is he just come off the mountaintop with God. And he steps into this. And he's ready to handle this situation in a way that's pleasing to God. 23 then is the key as we get close to wrapping it. Jesus says to him, let me go back, 22. So the father responds to Jesus' question in 21, how long has this been happening to him? And the dad says in 21, from childhood, and often he's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And that's why Jesus says in 23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So the question isn't if Jesus can. The question is, can the Father believe? That's the question. So Jesus is saying, if you're asking me if I can do anything, well, let me ask you, can you believe? And the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So for your son that's not walking with God, for your daughter that's going out to parties every weekend and you don't see her until Sunday night, Monday morning, for your parents that may not be walking with God the way you'd love to see, I think Jesus asked the same question of you. Can you believe? And Jesus says, bring him to me. I'm in control of the situation. Can you believe? Will you believe? Do you have faith that God is going to move in your midst this week? God's going to use you this week in your world. That's God going to use you in powerful ways. So the guy responds then in 24, the father, immediately the father of the child cries out, says with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What a great prayer, huh? What a genuine prayer. He did believe in Jesus' power to deliver the boy. After all, he brought him to him. But he also recognized his doubts. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. What a wonderful prayer for us to, Lord, strengthen us when we have an unbelieving heart. And then 25, then Jesus cures a boy's future when he says, enter him no more. Jesus saw the people come running together. He rebukes the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. That had to mean a lot to the dad. His demon's not just gone. He's never coming back. And then it looks as if the kid's dead, but Jesus just grabs hold of the boy's hand in 26 and 27 and lifted him up and arose. And I just want to end real quickly here in 28 and 29, where the disciples pull him in privately and ask him, why couldn't we cast this demon out? And he says, this kind can't come out by anything but prayer and fasting. It isn't that prayer and fasting make us more worthy to cast out demons. It's that prayer and fasting draw us closer to the heart of God. And therefore, then we're in line with his power more. Prayer and fasting is an expression of our total dependence upon God. That's what it is. That's where the power comes from. You know, we never know when an opportunity for miraculous ministry is going to present itself in our lives. We have no idea. You might go to wherever you go to lunch today, and there's an opportunity right there. Are you ready for that? Because when this came, Jesus couldn't say to the dad and the boy, hold on a second. Give me 3 days. I'm going to go pray and fast. And then I'll be back. Jesus came into the situation, prayed up, ready. And I think it's a great challenge for us that as we walk through our days, to be ready for things as they present themselves. That we're not caught off guard when these kind of things come our way. That we're ready to step in like Jesus did here. And just minister to the boy. That's what I think he's trying to get across to the fellas here. He's saying, you weren't ready. You had your eyes off of me. And maybe it's because when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to the top, who knows what the other nine were thinking. How come I don't get to go up there? How come they always get to do that? I can land down here on the bottom and screw it up with you guys. I don't want to be around you guys. I want to be around him. You know what? That would be me. I know it. Well, what's wrong with me? Well, I'm a disciple too. I'm a capital D disciple. Well, and so because of that, then who knows? Now, I'm kind of guessing, but who knows? Their brain was cockeyed then. And then when the opportunity came for ministry, they're grumpy. They're like, And then when they stepped in to try to do something, and bless their heart, they tried, there was no power there. Why? They had their eyes off of God. And so that's our challenge as we walk through our days, to stay right in line with what God's asking for of us. Stay right in line with His Spirit. So these guys missed a wonderful opportunity, I think, because they had their eyes on something else, or some, maybe someone else. So why should you pray fervently? God will bring you wonderful opportunities. Will you be ready? Because each one of us has an opportunity to be used by God this week. Absolutely. Each one of us has an opportunity to be used by God this week. We have an opportunity to move in the miraculous this week. We have an opportunity to help someone by taking them to Jesus. How sad to be powerless at that moment in time. How sad to be impotent at that moment in time when God really wants to use you for you to say, you know what? Because I got my eyes on something, I just got so firing mad at something, then here comes an opportunity, and I have no ability to love that person right now. I have no ability to pray for that person right now. I'm still spitting nails at the wife. We got your eyes on the wrong thing then. We have no idea what's in front of us. So I want to invite us to, let's just spend some time just let's take ourselves to Jesus now, okay? Let's just take ourselves to Jesus and let Him minister to our hearts. And we're going to celebrate communion together, and we just want to pray that God would, as we approach the table, that God would cleanse our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in us. And we'll pass communion. And then we'll go through that. And then we'll just want to spend a couple minutes just praying for people as God would bring them to your mind, that you can take them to Jesus through prayer this morning. Okay? Lord, we thank You for Your heart for us. We thank You, Lord, for this section of Scripture. And Lord, how You minister to that boy. And there's so many people that we live around, God, that need You so badly. And thank You for the privilege we have of being Your instruments and taking people to You. But Lord, we recognize that we first must be a close, walking disciple of Yours. We need to ourselves be close to You. And I'm not going to take somebody to a place that I don't go myself. So Lord, I ask right now that as we just wait a second or two, that we would offer ourselves to You all over again, God. And maybe for some of us, it's been a long time since we spent 10 or 20 seconds just thinking about You. Thank You that You love us. Thank You that each one of us are very special to You. Thank You, Jesus, that You came onto this earth to die on that cross so that we can be forgiven of our sins, cleansed. All the shame and the guilt and the regret is taken away. Lord, if any of us are still holding on to those things, we know that our sin is still before us, God. That we come before You now and just simply say, God, I'm sorry for my rebellion to You. And I pray that You'd cleanse me. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on that cross to take the punishment for my sin. I accept the gift of eternal life. God, I pray that would be an attitude of each one of our hearts this morning. Lord, for Your unconditional love. Show us what that means more and more every day. Help us to be people of faith. People that take You at Your word in every situation, in every circumstance. That we stand on Your word We stand on your promises. For me. Thank you that you promise us so much, God. Lord, I pray you'd search our hearts as we approach the communion table. Lord, we approach with reverence. We approach with humility of heart. And yeah, it's grape juice and it's a piece of pita bread, but it's symbolic of Jesus, your body that was broken for me. And the juice is symbolic of your blood that was shed for me. So I might sit here in this little stool this morning free. A man with a future. Not only just heaven with you, but a future on this earth. A purpose. Thank you for that, God. So we approach the table with reverence, but also we approach with a heart of that celebrates the goodness of God. That God, you would send your only Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Thank you for that promise, God. Lord, sometimes we get a little cockeyed as we go through our days. I pray that we would allow you to search our hearts now and reveal to us if there's anything that we've allowed into our life that isn't pleasing to you. We'd simply confess it as sin. Repent and turn from that sin. Thank you that you offer us so much as we walk with you. We worship you, Jesus. May we get a glimpse of your heart this morning, God. May you usher us right up into your very throne. May the things of this world and the things of this day, all the things just fall away now, God. We just spend a minute or two just basking in the goodness of God. Enjoying your presence. Beholding your beauty. That's what I want. It's what I need. And the cool thing about it is you want it more than I do. Come, Holy Spirit.